heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
And now, as we tune in to another hour of the Kalam Astro Space Show, I must remind you that I'm your host, Ali Al-Nuaimi. I won't say I'm your captain, because I'm definitely not. Probably the captain is one of the listeners right now. And man, do we have an interstellar journey planned for you tonight on Kalam Astro and on Pulse 95. As the clock strikes to the top of the hour, I am beyond excited to dig into all things space with all of you space lovers, from discoveries being made by NASA and space agencies worldwide, to theories about extraterrestrial life, to futuristic technologies that could transform space travel. We've got it all covered on probably coming up over the next 60 minutes on Kalam Astro. I would encourage all of you to strap yourselves in and get comfortable, because my fellow dear space lovers and friends, I'm about to take you on a journey beyond our wildest dreams, as I always do. We will be blasting off from planet Earth and exploring regions of the cosmos we can only imagine. And as always, I'll be here to guide you through it all and answer any questions you may have along the way. So don't you dare click that dial or change the radio waves. You won't want to miss a single moment of our exploration journey. Stay right here where you are, because the discoveries happening right now in interstellar space are just too amazing not to dive into. I encourage all of you to get ready for one epic journey on Kalam Astro and on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
A story to tell.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Greetings and good evening, space enthusiasts, and welcome to another episode of Kalam Astro. I was super excited to start, so don't mind this quick jump of mine that I've just done. Right, your host Ali Naim is with you on Kalam Astro, and I must say, we've got an exciting show lined up for all of you space lovers and people who love space. Right, now, to kick things off, and before I talk about all of the other topics that we will be talking about, or perhaps shall I leave them as a surprise? Yes, I shall leave them as a surprise. Right, now, let's kick things off. Now, I want to talk to you about an upcoming satellite launch that has big implications for weather monitoring here on planet Earth. Yes, you heard that correctly. In May 2024, NASA and NOAA, which stands for National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is a government agency located in Washington, D.C., are targeting no earlier than launch date for GOES-U, that's G-O-E-S-U, the next generation geostationary operational environmental satellite. That's what G-O-E-S-U, GOES-U, stands for. Now, for those who are unfamiliar, the GOES program consists of a series of satellites that provide near-continuous observations of weather and environmental conditions across the Western Hemisphere. Now, their geostationary orbit allows GOES, the GOES satellite, allows them to track storms and weather patterns as they move across land and sea, and this will give forecasters a huge advantage, because they will be able to predict and monitor high impact weather. So the GOES-U will continue this critical work once in orbit, with this new and improved instrument to detect phenomena like lightning, fires from space, and of course changes in atmospheric temperature, moisture, and wind speed. All of this data is very crucial and important for forecasting storms, hurricanes, floods, and more, all of which directly definitely impacts public safety and our economy as a whole, especially when it comes to hurricanes in America. Florida is always in trouble, don't you think so? So with a hurricane season already underway, we can say having the most advanced monitoring capabilities in orbit is highly, highly important Again, not just for the forecasters or the people in the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association. It's also important for the public safety, for the people, for them to be aware of what's coming next when it comes to a weather forecast. So imagine a weather forecast which is 100% precise. So I would say that I'm very, very excited to follow the progress of GOES-U as it completes assembly and prepares for launch next spring on May 2024. Later in the show, I'll dive more into the science instruments on board and we'll talk more and more about other exciting topics about space as we always do. So as we return, I want to get your thoughts on what weather events you think GOES-U will help scientists better understand. Is it going to be in Florida? Is it going to be about hurricanes or probably global warming? Do you think it will help on global warming? Yes, it could be. Right. Give me a text on 4215 to share your thoughts with me so I can see what you guys think and how is this going to go forward, probably. Right, this is Kalam Astro, keeping an eye on the skies and space from our great radio station, Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yes, welcome back to Kalam Astro. And in this segment, I changed my mind. I was going to talk about something else, but then I thought, why not discuss the extreme space facts about planets in our solar system? Because there are lots of interesting facts and information about our lovely solar system. So why not talk about them? I thought it would be very fun, and probably there are facts or things that you have not ever heard of before. And plus, I love the Did You Know segment. I really, really love to talk about things that, did you know? You know, I go like, I jump, I keep saying, did you know this and did you know that? So let's talk about some extreme space facts. First, chill out. Yes, chill out, because did you know that craters at the moon's south pole may be the frostiest in the entire solar system? And in the permanently shrouded crater floors, daytime temperatures may never rise above minus 238 degrees Celsius. Wow, which means that you will get to chill out for real, right? So it's going to be very, very cold. Now, let's travel to Neptune. Did you know that Neptune is the windiest? Yes, because Neptune's winds are the fastest in the solar system, and the winds reach 2,575 kilometers per hour, and Neptune's giant spinning storms could swallow the whole planet Earth. I'm glad that Neptune is pretty much far away from Earth then. Right, another one. Let's talk about something very, very tiny. Now, did you know that the radio signal that a spacecraft uses to contact planet Earth has no more power than a refrigerator light bulb? Yes. And by the time this signal has traveled across space, this signal is only 1/1,000,000,000 of 1 watt. So imagine this teeny tiny, very, very tiny radio signal, which has no more power than a refrigerator light bulb, is giving us signals to Earth. I need time to compute this. Anyhow, right, since we talked about something very tiny, let's go to something big, way big. Now, to detect those tiny signals that I've been talking about from space, the Deep Space Network uses a dish antennas with diameters of up to 70 meters, and that's almost as big as a football field. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? These satellites, they're huge satellites, that they're like around 230 feet, 70 meters. They're so big. They're almost as big as a football field. And these big, way big satellites or antennas are created to catch these teeny, very tiny refrigerator light bulb powered signals coming from space. So something way big is trying to capture or get a signal, a radio signal, which is very, very tiny. You get me? I don't know, but this is mind-blowing, to be honest. Technology is just so amazing, isn't it? Right. Well, and I must tell you that it is a small world after all, because more than 8,300 Earths would fit into Jupiter's vast sphere. Imagine how big planet Jupiter is. Right, so one Jupiter planet equals 1,300 planet Earths. Isn't that just simply amazing? And scary at the same time, to be honest. Right. What shall we talk about next? Right, let's talk about Venus. Sizzling Venus, let's say. Now, the average temperature on planet Venus is more than 480 degrees Celsius. And that is hotter than a self-cleaning oven. Ouch. You're going to burn. Like, really burn. And I'm not giving you a threat. You're going to burn if you travel all the way to planet Venus. So, yeah, I don't think we will ever do. Right. And did you know, finally, that you better stick with a rubber ducky? Yes, I said that. Right, because Saturn is the only planet in our solar system that is less dense than water. Well, these were some extreme space facts about our amazing solar system and amazing space. A quick break and we will be coming back, so don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
This is Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
And now, since we've talked about amazing extreme facts about the solar system, it is time to talk about amazing or surprising facts about astronaut training. I thought we should give them a highlight and get to see what's fascinating about astronauts and how they train. Did you know, first of all, that NASA does not have an age restriction when it comes to you being an astronaut? So if you want to be an astronaut, there is no age limit. There is no age restriction, even if you're 60 years old plus, right? So while NASA doesn't have any limits on how old its astronauts need to be to visit space, however, it does require potential candidates to have a bachelor's degree in a STEM-related field such as biology, engineering, or computer science. So this is their only condition. You have to have a bachelor's degree in biology, engineering, or computer science. NASA also requires that all astronaut trainees be US citizens with excellent vision. Yes, you have to have an excellent vision. Though the use of glasses is acceptable as well. But then again, I don't know about US citizens only. Again, we talked about the amazing UAE astronauts trainees who are Noor Al-Matrushi and Mohammed Al-Mulla, who have recently graduated from NASA, right? So I'm not sure if the US is only accepting US citizens only. Right, yeah, but no, there are no official age restrictions. So in the past, NASA has selected candidates who were as young as 26 and as old as 46 years old. Again, another fascinating fact about astronauts training. Did you know that trainees swim laps in their flight suits? Yes, and all of the required swimming came as a bit of a shock to some of the astronauts, like Mike Massimino, who said that he barely knew how to swim, but then NASA selected him to be an astronaut candidate for training. So during the candidate's first month of training, he or she must pass a truly rigorous swim test. Would be astronauts begin by swimming three full lengths of a 25-meter pool without stopping. Oh, and did I mention that the swimmers need to do this and swim while wearing tennis shoes and a flight suit weighing around 250 pounds? That's 127 kilograms. Not an easy job or not an easy task to be an astronaut trainee for NASA. Not to mention that the astronauts also train in Arizona Crater Field, because you don't need, if you want to be a NASA astronaut trainee, you don't need a telescope to know that the moon is littered with craters. So a few of the biggest are sometimes visible to the naked eye, earthbound eye. And one more interesting fact is that astronauts must learn Russian. Right now, the only way to get up to the International Space Station is by hitching a ride on a Russian ship. And did I tell you that astronauts spend a lot of time under sea? Near the Donaldson Space Center in Houston, Texas, is a huge indoor pool. Now, this thing measures like 40 feet deep, 202 feet long, and 102 feet wide. At that size, it's bigger than an Olympic swimming pool, and the water's kept at a balmy temperature between 82 to 86 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's recycled daily. So what astronauts do there, that they can get themselves accustomed to the sense of weightlessness they get to experience in outer space. So the pool is officially known as the Natural Buoyancy Laboratory, or NBL for short. On training days, the astronauts who get scuba certified early on are zipped into their spacesuit and lowered into the water. And under the surface, each trainee is escorted by two safety divers and taken to various corners of the pool. Well, now that we know all of that, we know that it's not easy to be a NASA trainee. You have to be able to swim, you have to learn Russian, you have to be able to tell how many craters are on the moon with your naked eye without a telescope. You have to do lots and lots of stuff. But the good part about it all is that there is no age restriction. A quick break and we will be coming back. We have lots more to discuss and talk about on Kalam Astro. So keep your radio waves locked on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95. It's a Sharjah story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Well, ever thought about the history of spaceflight? I thought that would be an interesting topic to talk about. So let's talk about the history of space exploration. How did it begin? Well, the history of space exploration begins in the mid-1940s. Now, the first object launched into space was actually a rocket designed to be a weapon. Yes, this was the V-2 rocket. It was supposedly a weapon, so it was designed to be a weapon, and it was designed by engineers in Nazi Germany, and it made its historic flight in 1944, way before I was even born. I never even existed. Anyhow, never mind me. Right, so now, as we all know, the Nazis were defeated by nations including the United States and the Soviet Union. And after their victory, these two countries have shifted to a Cold War. Now, the cold part of this war means that no direct combat happened between the two countries. But there's a catch. These two nations try to show their superiority over the other for the next 50 years. For example, let's take this as an example. So the two nations competed in activities like chess and sports. A more serious product of this competition was the improvement of the Nazis' original rockets, and this technology was rebuilt to allow for peaceful purposes. With these improvements, of course, we could say they thought they now can launch robots and humans into space. So what was the first object that has launched into orbit? Well, it's called Sputnik 1. The first object launched into orbit around the Earth was the Sputnik 1 satellite. Now, Sputnik was launched on October 4th in 1957 by the Soviet Union, Russia. It was essentially a radio beacon, and it was designed to send a beeping signal that could be picked up around the entire Earth or the world. Let me try and play the sound of Sputnik first signal, which was from space to Earth. I'll try to give it a shot and see how it goes. Let's see. There you go. Pretty much amazing and annoying at the same time. But there you have it. That was the first signal from Sputnik from space to Earth. So the success of Sputnik showed the superiority of the Soviet Union at that time, of course. But not to be outdone, the United States were starting to kick in because they launched their first satellite, which was Explorer 1, just a few months later of Sputnik. Now, this launch took place on January 31st, 1958, and Explorer 1 was packed with scientific instruments. And the amazing part of it all, that it returned a lot of data about space just above our planet's atmosphere. This environment and beyond, at 100 kilometers above the Earth's surface, is now thought of as the boundary of space. So the Soviet Union then continued to beat the United States in space exploration for the next 10 years. They successfully launched the first human into space, who is Yuri Gagarin, and Yuri's flight took place on April 12, 1961, just before the launch of the rocket, and the launch control room operator, Sergei Korolev, updated Yuri on the status of the rocket. So there you have it. Who do you think is more powerful when it comes to the space race or the industry? Do text us on 4215. Let me know, what do you know about the history of space exploration and which side are you on, the US or the Soviet Union? But I think for me, I see that the United States are playing a huge role and they are probably having the control when it comes to space. Yeshidasa, I would say. Right, yeah, a quick break and we will be coming back. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yes, this is Kalam Astro, and as we wrap up, I must again, and as I always do, thank you for tuning in to Kalam Astro and being with me throughout this whole space journey tonight. I've truly enjoyed it, and I must say that we've talked about some really, really interesting topics tonight. I would say we always do, but tonight's one was really, really special. So I'd love for all of you to text us on 4215. Tell me, what did you guys enjoy the best? So as we wrap up, let's give a quick recap on what we've discussed. We've talked about the geostationary operational environmental satellites, which are launching no earlier than May 2024, which will be giving forecasters a 100% precise weather forecast, which is going to benefit the economy and going to benefit the public and people as well, and the countries to predict precise, very, very precise weather forecasts or weather conditions when it comes to hurricanes or any thunderstorms or any weather condition, basically, which is simply amazing, right? And we also talked about some amazing space facts. We've discussed the extreme space facts about planets in the solar system. We talked about Neptune's windy weather, which is going to swallow up Earth if it were to be anywhere near it. Thankfully, it's not. Venus's hot temperature, which is going to burn us basically and wipe us out of existence if we ever went near it, and many other amazing solar system facts. We also talked about the rigorous astronauts training from NASA and how will you be able to be an astronaut, and if you did, what are the requirements, and the amazing part that we have found out that there are no age restrictions. So if you're 26, if you're 25, 46, 60 plus, 70, probably 100 years old, no age restrictions for you to become an astronaut. But the sad part is that you have to be a US citizen. Then again, I highly doubt this piece of information because we have amazing UAE astronauts traveling all the way to space and training to space, just like Noura Matroshi and Mohammed Al-Mulla, which are amazing UAE astronauts. We also talked about the history of space flight and how the United States were competing with the Soviet Union to show off basically their own progress to space and who won the race, we can say. And I would say, to me, based on my opinion, I see that NASA and the United States have won the race so far. Right, so that was it. That's what we've talked about throughout the night. I would say pretty much interesting information and pretty much interesting discussions. Again, Kalam Astro is not over. It's over for tonight, but not over yet, because we always have something to discuss, something amazing, information that probably you've never heard off before when it comes to space. So I would encourage all of you to stay tuned with me every Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Pulse 95, because Kalam Astro will always give you something exciting to look forward to throughout your weekend. As a wrap up, I would say again, thank you for tuning in, and again, don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us, always on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Keeping it low all day, every day.
This is Pulse 95.